Yeah, well, praise the Lord. Thankful for the Word of God. You know, this is our life. This is Jesus, when he prayed, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And this is what we're begotten again through the Word of God. And you know, you cannot underemphasize the Word of God. God has exalted his word above his name. I mean, there's just, I think that's why the enemy's attacked it so, because it's such a powerful, supernatural manifestation of the will of God, the Word of God. You know what? I should have printed these out. It totally slipped my mind. We've got a little outline for the next little while we'll be going through this. We're going to be talking about discipleship, and I don't really know how long it's going to take. Brother Bill didn't give me a time limit, so y'all might be in trouble. But in any event, we've got a little outline of some things we're going to talk about, and I'll just share. You know, Brother Bill asked me if we'd, you know, do this again, have the Sunday evenings again. And I went to prayer and was seeking the Lord what he'd have me share on. I love to teach through books of the Bible. I love to talk about doctrine, talk about the Lord. I mean, there's a lot I like to talk about. But, you know, really the need in the church of Jesus Christ is what we're going to talk about, discipleship. We've spent a lot of time, a couple of centuries now in church history dealing with getting people saved. And that's great. But we haven't taken the time to get people discipled. We haven't gotten people rooted and grounded in the Word of God and in the truth of Jesus Christ. So you've had a lot of people that have been converted, but it's like the old saying, you know, they're a mile wide but an inch deep. There's no spiritual depth. And when hard times come, people come and go. You know, they aren't stable. They're not committed and really established on the Word of God and in a relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of times people are indoctrinated. They've been raised up in church. They've heard true things and right things. But things will not keep you. It's got to take him. And in order to have a relationship with him, you must be discipled. You must learn. And so that's what we're going to look at. By God's grace, you know how I am. Even if I have notes, half the time I can't look at them once I get up here. And so I'm just going to share from my heart what I think the Lord's put on it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started here. God, we love you. We thank you so much for first loving us. Thank you so much for revealing your Son to us, for saving us from sin and giving us everlasting life. Lord, giving us a relationship whereby we know God, and God, you know us. Lord, we thank you for making us, calling us to be disciples. Lord, I just ask you to help us. Lord, I feel like this is such a need in our generation, such a need in this dispensation, this gospel dispensation, such a need in our generation where the world has just swept into the church. And I think so much of that is because there's been a lack of discipleship. So God, I ask you to help us to get a vision for what you called us to, in calling us to be disciples. And Lord, bless this time. Bless everyone who's here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to read briefly this. We call it the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18. After the Lord had raised from the dead, and he had ascended to heaven, and he came back to earth, and the scriptures say for 40 days, He taught his disciples. He appeared at different places to different ones. And then before he ascended back to heaven, he met with his disciples. And here in Matthew 28, verse 17, it says, And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now he said, because, verse 18, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore, because all power is given to me, I want you to go. And I want you to teach all nations. In Greek, that word teach, it's not the typical word that you would find in the New Testament for teach. It's go make disciples of all nations. Which I don't know that you care, but in Greek it's mathetes, whereas the typical word is didasko or didaskalos. It's a teaching or doctrine, a presenting of information. But here he's saying, I want you to go make people like yourself. I want you to go. This is your commission. And it's very important to note this, because he didn't say go make converts. He didn't say go, and even though he does say to baptize, he didn't say, I just want you to go make baptismal participants. I just want you to go baptize people. But the first thing he said was go into all the world and make disciples. We have come up, we have come into this church age, into this generation, in a time when discipleship has pretty much, for the most part, been left up to the individual. It's just been left out there. Nobody has a sense of responsibility in ministry that this is my call, to teach men or to make men and women into disciples, obedient followers of Christ. And as a result, you've had a lot of conversions. You've had Billy Graham crusades, and you've had knocking on doors, street evangelism explosion. And people are asking people, if you died tonight, do you know where you would go? Would you be in heaven or hell? And they've made the question about heaven or hell, when Jesus didn't make that the question. Jesus said, go make them followers of me. Go make them students of me. Go make them learners, pupils, scholars. That is what he called us to be. Now, not in the sense of, just a student. Jesus didn't come to institute a college. He didn't come to start a school. He didn't come to start a monastery. He came to start a body. He came to start a family. He came to start a church. And in doing that, he has called us to make disciples. So this call to discipleship is the eternal call. It is the Great Commission. And he says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations. And this is how it starts, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it continues through teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You have to see the relationship that's in this commission. He says, I want you to go. I want you to make them followers of me. I want them to be baptized, which you remember represents their dying to themselves and raising up in newness of life to live for Christ, to live in Christ, that they're buried with him through baptism and raised in newness of life. It's a type or a figure that demonstrates to the world, I'm dead. I'm now living the Christ life. They could say with Paul that he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. His whole life was wrapped up in serving Jesus Christ. So that's where it starts. But it continues in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you on the basis of this relationship. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? You know, I'm a Christian. I come to church. I learn about Jesus. Doesn't that make me a disciple? Well, I question, does that make you a disciple? This is an eternal call. This is something that God has instituted from eternity past. He has chosen men and women to be His disciples. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. And in Greek, that is actually, many are called, but few are called out of the called. And so the gospel message has gone into all the world, to every creature. We've preached the gospel. People have heard the call. They've heard it, but only a certain few have responded to that call. And the response to this call of Christ Jesus is not merely to be converted and to be saved. In John chapter 1, the scripture says, to as many as believed on Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So there's something in receiving the gospel that gives you access to the kingdom, access to the family of God, access to this relationship. And so the reason that I wanted to share by God's grace on discipleship is that I feel like for so many, their Christianity is just the fact that they prayed one time and now they go to church every week. And when they have ups and downs in life, they question God and they wonder why, and they go to the preacher and their whole Christianity is based on that man sitting right there. And I don't say that in any negative way whatsoever about Brother Bill, but the whole extent of their personal relationship to Jesus Christ is really founded upon church attendance. It's really founded upon the doctrines that they've learned and the standards that they've adopted, and it's not based on a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is where the difference between being a convert and being a disciple comes in. This is the difference between people who are just, you know, going down as wet sinners and coming up as wet sinners. This is the difference between people who have sold out and surrendered all and people who just adopted a religious facade and come into things and think everything's okay because they go to church and they're faithful to church and they don't do what the church says don't do, but they don't have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is why I feel like we need to talk about this, because if you can become a disciple, and when I'm saying this, I want you to understand, discipleship is not the same as becoming born again. It's not the same as just getting saved. You know, getting saved is the beginning of becoming a disciple. But being a disciple is a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ where you are a student of God. This is part of the new covenant. We're going to talk about it later. The third point, if you got the outline now, called to learn. We're going to get in that, how that part of this new covenant is that they shall be taught of God. Part of the new covenant is that you are in such a relationship with the divine that God Himself takes you under His wing as His pupil, and He is going to instruct you and teach you how to live this life of a disciple. It's not just head knowledge. Like I said, God didn't call us to a college. He called us to a body. He called us to a relationship. So I want us to get this. And again, let me say this. Kind of look at the outline here. The second point we're going to eventually talk about is the goal of discipleship. See, God could have, when we were saved, He could have just zapped us and made us everything He wanted us to be instantly. We just start walking around doing everything just like Jesus. You know, the first person after we get saved, we lay hands on their, boom, instantly healed. And we're just living like Jesus. He didn't do it that way. He didn't do it that way for a purpose and a reason. It's because He wants to develop a relationship with us that we grow up into Him. Now, He has perfected all things. If you're here in Sunday school this morning, you know, He has accomplished everything that there is for us in that eternal redemption that He purchased on the cross. But we are to grow up into Him in all things. We are to grow up into what He has already accomplished. So this is part of discipleship. Discipleship has everything to do with sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. And you know, and I don't use that in the terms of the work of instantaneous sanctification, but on the aspect of the progressive growing in grace and knowledge, it's a development that takes place in your life through this relationship of discipleship. And the goal is that we would be as him. You know, and in the scriptures, was it Matthew chapter 10, verse 25? It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. This is God's intention for you. This is what is tied up in this great commission. When Jesus gave the commission to those 11 on that mountainside, and some say all 500 were there at this time, but when he gave them that commission, he said, for you disciples to go make disciples. And then those disciples are to go and make disciples. And those disciples are to go and make disciples. And the whole earth will be filled with his glory. This is the intention of God through discipleship. And so, getting back to our outline then, we're chosen to work as the master. We're sent as ambassadors of redemption. This is the call. Jesus was sent by the Father. Now we're sent by him. And then we'll talk about the power of the disciple, and that's the Holy Ghost, that we must have the anointing of God, that it's not just an earthly calling, but it's a supernatural ministry. And then we're going to eventually get to the practical means of becoming a disciple. And I hope you'll stick with me for that, or at least come back when we're talking about that, because we so desperately need this in the church. We so desperately need to recognize that there are means of grace. There are sources by which we can gain strength and edification and be built up in our inner man. Though our outward man perish, our inner man is renewed. And it's through these things, these practical means of discipleship. So we're going to talk about those too. But back to what we're talking about this evening in our introduction here. This, we are called or chosen to be a disciple. This is an eternal call. This is not something that just happened, you know, we just decided, hey, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. It's very interesting when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus chose all of his disciples. Of those 12, he personally chose them. That really wasn't typical of the day. The custom of the day was the learner, the student, the disciple would search out a rabbi, a teacher, a master in Israel that they wanted to learn from. And they would sit under that master, that teacher, and they would soak in everything he has to say. And they would try to emulate and imitate that man in hopes that one day they too could be a master. They too could be a teacher or a rabbi. It didn't work that way with Jesus. It was by invitation only. When the multitudes came to Jesus, Jesus sent them away. When the multitudes came to Jesus, very often he put the axe to the root. He didn't tell them, oh yeah, come on, we're looking for a few good men. We want some more disciples. Instead, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. When they came to follow him, he said, you know, you go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then you come and follow me. When they said, well, Lord, I want to be your disciple, I want to follow you, but first can I bury my father? And he said, let the dead bury their dead. You go preach the gospel and come follow me. Over and over and over again, Jesus put the axe to the root. Jesus laid the sword to it. He said, you aren't fit to be my disciple because of this. And he showed them their sin. He showed them that thing that kept them from being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. But this is an eternal call. And what I mean by that is, the scripture says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We were called. Everyone was called. The gospel has gone out. But only those who respond to the call and find themselves in Christ are chosen in him. Because he is the elect one. He is the chosen one. And as we put our faith and confidence in him, then we become the called out of the called. We become the chosen. And this is an eternal call. Let me read you a few scriptures here. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then verse 2 at the beginning there it says, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Again, in Ephesians 1:4, and I actually already mentioned this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're chosen to this. In
2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election," or the choosing. That's the many are called and few are chosen, the calling and the election. "Make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." And then again in John 15:16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, you need to understand this, that you're called to the gospel. You're chosen to be a disciple. But that choosing is dependent upon how you respond. And so when Jesus chose his 12, Luke chapter 6, is verses 12 and 13, it says that he went out and he spent all night in prayer. Let me read this to you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." He had those, it was a lot of people following him. "And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Now, this thought occurred to me. You know, Jesus chose his disciples, his 12, the apostles. And we think, well, you know, of course, they were special. Jesus prayed all night. You know, he knew he was going to inspire some of them to write the Gospels like Matthew and John. And he knew that some of them, you know, he was going to have speak on the day of Pentecost like Peter and write books of the New Testament like 1st and 2nd Peter. And these were to be the witnesses of his resurrection who stayed with him the whole time of his ministry. And so they were special. And of course, he prayed all night. He was very intentional about what he did and getting the right ones. But I want you to consider this fact, that God is perfect in everything he does. And he is no less intentional about the choosing of you to be his disciple as he was intentional about choosing them. See, we think about the great things that they did and the position that they held, and that somehow God was on purpose, a little more intentional about making sure he got the right one when he chose them. But God is God, and everything he does to absolute perfection. And so as much as he was intentional and on purpose about who he chose when he chose the 12, he's that intentional and that purposed in the choice he's made of you and of me. No less so because he's God. Now, we might not, we definitely won't write inspired scripture. We might not go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We might not have a worldwide ministry, but we are no less the intention and call of an eternal God to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be conformed into his image with the goal that the disciple would be as his master. So when God called you out of those that have been called, and he chose you with this eternal choosing, he did so with the intention of heaven, with the perfect purpose that he would make you all he called you to be. So this is something glorious we have to recognize. It's an eternal call. And we've talked already a little bit about what is a disciple. He's a student. He's a learner. He's a pupil, but he's not merely someone going to understand the doctrines of the master, but he's one with a heart committed to the master, to do whatever the master would have him do, to eventually one day become like the master. He's an adherent to the teachings. You know, Paul mentioned at the Ark Encounter how there were some people there questioning how, you know, well, that's probably not how it was, or, you know, that can't be. They were there learning about the Ark, but they weren't adherents to the truth of the Ark. Well, there are people who come into the church. They learn the doctrines. They learn the lingo. They learn the songs. They learn how to pray. They learn how to go through the motions, but they're not adherents to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not learning of God. They're just learning the trappings. And there's a difference. A true disciple has come to know God. A true disciple has come to be established in God. He's a faithful follower. And I just want to read you some scriptures about him calling us to follow him. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 8:22, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Matthew 9:9, when he called Levi, Matthew, from the receipt of custom, he just said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and left everything there. And then again in Matthew 16:24, the Bible says, "If any man," Jesus said, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There is a cost to discipleship. There's a goal. There's a purpose. That's to be like the master, but you must first pay the price. You must first count the cost and weigh, is it worth it? Because you have to abandon everything that is you. Listen now, in John 6, let me read this. This is how it's so different. It's not just being a learner in the sense of learning doctrine, but it's being conformed into Christ. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, I think it's right here. John 6:53, yes. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." This is the difference between someone who is just following Jesus for the loaves and the fishes and someone who was a disciple of Jesus, and they saw that I am going to have to become Christ. Like the scripture says, you are what you eat. He is going to become my life. He says it right here in verse 57. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father." The life that I live is from the Father. He's the source. He gives me this life. "So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." To be a disciple, it must be a radical cut from this world and a radical commitment to Jesus Christ. You must hate your father and mother and sisters and brothers, your wife, your children, your own life also, or you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. Now, how is that possible except that we believe he is who he said he was? Except that we see him as that treasure hidden in a field for which we're willing to sell everything we have so we can go and buy that field and find that treasure. We have to recognize this. And this is why so many Christians are, like I said earlier, a mile wide, an inch deep. Because they've never made that commitment. They've never made that consecration. They've never come to that place where they say, I want to follow Jesus, so I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. This is a prerequisite to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You can have repented in some measure. You can have prayed. You can have been baptized in water and come back out and never made a commitment to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, your Christianity is going to be so shallow and so wavering and so waffling that when the rubber meets the road and when trials come, your life is built on sinking sand instead of the solid rock, and you're going to be overcome. The storm is coming. It comes both to the wise man and the foolish. And so if your life is built on anything other than Jesus Christ, if it's built on anything other than that, it's going to crash. Your life is going to crash. It's going to fall. So the Lord has called us to be these disciples, to be made into the image of Jesus, to be conformed into his image. But it's only through discipleship that we can be conformed into his image. It's only through these things that we develop this relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, where we learn of him and we become him. We live by him. You know, I'll say this again. Maybe I'm rambling, but I've seen so many people that I believe they're saved. I believe they've called on the name of the Lord. They've repented. They've prayed. They've been baptized. They attend church. But their Christian life is like this. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. One week they're on the mountaintop. They're singing glory, praising the Lord. The next week they're discouraged. They're ready to quit and give up. It's because they've never become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Their Christianity is based on the group that they're identifying with. Their Christianity is based on what other men say and how other men respond to them. And really, they're staking everything they've got in God on what the preacher says. If he's going to be able to give me that word that'll just encourage me just enough to go another day. When what God wants, what Christ provided for in the atonement, is that you would have such a relationship with Jesus Christ that when you hit those roadblocks, when you have that hard time, when you find that discouragement, you've got enough in you, enough root in you, that you can go to God and you can get that word for yourself from God, and you can stand knowing that this is the truth. I'm established in Christ. I'm complete in Him. Do you see the difference? Do you see? The Lord wants us to grow up, to mature, to be made into Christ. And it doesn't happen by happenstance. It doesn't happen by us just coming to church. Millions of people go to church every week and they leave just like they came because they're hearing the truth, but they're not applying it to their lives. And that's not a life of a disciple. That's not what Jesus has called us to be. Now, another thing here, why discipleship? Why didn't Jesus just make us, you know, boom, instantaneously, you're perfect, you're going to walk through this life just cruising, everything's going to be a blessing, everything's going to be great, you're never going to fail, never going to have a problem, never going to struggle, never going to doubt, you're going to know everything that God has to say? Because He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to recognize He is the source of everything you need. When we read that in John 6 there, He says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. There is such a mystery there. There's such a truth there that He's saying that I am going to become that which gives you your very life. I want to have that kind of intimacy and that kind of relationship with you. This is new covenant. You know, I know y'all probably get tired of hearing me say it all the time, but it's like so many Christians have such an Old Testament mindset. This, do, and live. You know, thou shalt not. And it's all about commandment keeping and morality. And they miss the glorious nature of the new covenant, that Jesus wants to live inside of you. Jesus wants to manifest Himself to you. He told the disciples, He said, if any man will do my will, then the Father and I will come and we'll manifest ourselves to him. He wants to show you who He is. And the reason for that is so that you'll be made like He is. Hebrews, the Lord says, here am I, and I'm paraphrasing, but He says, here am I, and the children God has given me. His goal is that we would be a race of people just like Jesus. This is the goal of discipleship. But there is an effort on our part in being conformed to His image. It's not automatic. And we've kind of left people with the impression that, you know, you just come to church, you just pray in the altar, and you read your Bible every day, and you're going to get there, when there's so much more to it. If you haven't denied yourself, if you haven't taken up the cross, if you haven't committed to follow Christ instead of yourself and everybody else's opinion, you will never live up to your potential as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so this is what I'm wanting, I'm hoping by God's grace we'll be able to get into and begin to see and pull the layers back and see what is God's intention in discipleship. And we'll understand that it is a relationship. I'll say this too about relationship. You've heard the saying, more is caught than taught, right? When a child is raised in a home and the parent says, don't you do that, and then they go and do it, what's the child do? He does what the parents do. It doesn't matter what's said. Discipleship is such to where Jesus said, you come, you follow me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to see how I'm living. I want you to see what's in me. It's not just the words that I speak. They could come to synagogue and hear that, right? They could come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and hear that. But God wants us to live with Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him to where we behold Him and we understand who He is and we catch it rather than just being taught it. Rather than just having information slung at us left and right, we begin to acquire who He is. We know the Lord. This is part of the new covenant. You know, we talked about it in Sunday school in Hebrews, where it says that, you know, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their heart. And back in chapter 8 of Hebrews, for this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, he's not talking about the whole world. He's talking about those who have been chosen out of the called, those who are members of the covenant. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You don't have to have a degree in theology to know God. You don't have to have been in the church for 40 years and been raised up in the faith to know God. You have to be a member of His covenant. You have to be a disciple. You have to be a pupil, a learner, a student of God. And the glorious thing is, God has promised to teach you. God has promised, not just, well, you know, I might teach you if you come around. If you pay attention in Sunday school, I'm going to teach you. God has promised as part and parcel of the new covenant, and they shall all be taught of God. The anointing which abides in you teaches you of all things. The Spirit of truth shall lead you or guide you into all truth. Over and over and over and over again, you see it all through the New Testament. You're taught of God how you ought to love one another. Over and over, the Scripture makes it clear and it's replete everywhere you look. God wants to teach you, but you have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to be taught of God. You know, I shared with a brother this morning, talking about different ones, you know, different groups of people, how you teach to different people and all. And, you know, a sad testimony that I've had to admit and realize that a lot of people, the longer they've been in church, the less they are teachable by God. They get set in their ways and they're immovable. You can't change their mind, even when you show them what the Bible says. Even when it's crystal clear, they've got their way and they're sticking to it. Now, there's something to be said for standing for truth. We're not talking about that. But when people have spent their whole life, and I'll say it like this, this is the way I said it this morning, when people have spent their whole life going around the cross, indulging their self-life, not offending the standards of the church, not offending other Christians, just living for self, and instead of going up on the cross and dying to their own will and living to Christ, they've gone around the cross. Over time, it's like they dig a rut, and it becomes easier and easier every time to go right around the cross instead of to go up on the cross and say, God, not my will, but thine be done. That's a lack of discipleship. They have not learned that part of discipleship is to deny yourself, take up that cross, and follow Him. And in doing so, that's where you find your life. That's where you find the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's where you have real Christianity. And so I just hope that we'll recognize that it's not an automatic. It's not something just because you got saved one day. Praise God for it. But that's not all there is to it. Because else, if it were, He wouldn't have said, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28 there. His intention was that we become learners, students, conformed to His image through the Word of God. And let me say this too as I close. The Scripture says over and over again, it talks about us being sanctified by the Word of God. In John 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." And then in there's several verses that speak to the same thing. I can't think of the others right off the top of my head right now. But you have to understand that it is the Word of God that conforms you, that shapes you, that trims you, purges you, prunes you, makes you into the image of Jesus Christ. It's not just the things you do. It's Him. It's His Word. It's what He does. And as you respond to that, that's where that pottery is taking place, where He's shaping you. It's by His Word. It's by learning His Word and living in His Word and letting His Word shape you into His image. So I hope I hadn't scared you off tonight in this. I hope you'll come back and we'll get to look at these things a little bit more in detail and just let the Lord conform us into the image of Christ and become those that are disciples who are able to then go out and make other disciples. You know, we feel so often we've done so much. If we've been able to lead somebody to Christ, they've gotten saved, we feel like our work is done, but it's just beginning, really. He wants us to make them into disciples of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Thank you for your attention.